This is the Bishop's Voice Podcast with Bishop Edward T. Cook, and I'm your host, Pastor Wilbur Allen III. So happy to have Bishop Cook to participate in these series of podcasts. Bishop Cook is the bishop of the Ohio North First Ecclesiastical Jurisdiction. It is a diocese of 84 churches. Bishop, I'm so happy that you're on the Bishop's Voice Podcast.
Well, thank you, Pastor Wilbur Allen. It's my pleasure and my honor to be on your podcast. We did this maybe a year or so ago. I enjoyed it then, and I'm looking forward to enjoying it again tonight.
Well, I think we're going to jump right in. And I tell you, Bishop, this podcast was inspired by a text you sent out. And incidentally, to those of you who do not know, Bishop Cook sends out a weekly text to pastors of the jurisdiction, as well as bishops. And the recipients, the number of recipients of his text blast is 264. So he is reaching a lot of people. Well, I want to share with you, Bishop, if you could elaborate on this text. And I'm going to read it verbatim. As more Arab and other nations independently attack with drone and missile strikes against Israel, it is only a matter of time before they unite under the Antichrist. The buildup to Armageddon has begun. The soon coming king is on his way. The Antichrist is already here. Armageddon is the place where the forces of God will battle the kings of the earth under demonic leadership at the end of history. There is no more urgent time than now to hear and heed the call to return to the foundation of holiness. Bishop, if you could elaborate upon that in light of geopolitical interpretation of what's going on in the Middle East between Israel, Gaza, and Iran.
Wow. Well, let me tell you what prompted me to send that at that time, because much of what I referred to has been going on for a while. The whole melodrama, well, it's more than a melodrama, but the whole incidence of what's going on between Israel and the various Arab nations has been going on for ages. But what is happening now is more in line with prophetic word, specific activities, specific acts of God, specific acts of nature. Iran taking the step they took was major, because Iran typically is an instigator. They have been involved in wars, but by and large, they avoid going to war with Israel. There are nations in the Arab sector that they don't care anything about Israel. They don't fear Israel. They don't have enough sense to fear Israel. But the great majority of those nations, like Iran and some of the other ones that are focused only on spending as much money as they can spend, they want to avoid war with Israel. Their attitude is the same toward Israel and toward Jews. But they are economically pragmatic. But there's some things that are happening right now, like the drying up of the Euphrates. That was prophesied. But what's associated with that prophecy was the fact that the Euphrates was a burial place for the giants. And we all know that, that it has been prophesied that the devil will be loosed. Well, you can't expect the devil to be loose without his minions and what have you to be loosed as well. And then you add to that what clearly was a plague called COVID. And it doesn't matter whether it came from a monkey, a pig, or test tube. It does not matter. Its effect on the world in 3 years was more significant than anything I've ever witnessed in my lifetime. So all of those things together, and that attack on Israel and Israel's response to that attack, and being willing, basically, to say I'll take you all on, just to me set the stage for the Battle of Armageddon. So that ball is rolling. At the same time, the church is coming out of the COVID pandemic, and quite honestly, we're reeling and rocking. We're reeling in that the great majority of us don't recognize what we're looking at every Sunday. And we spend a lot of time trying to corral it, get it back, because we want the familiar. But the truth of the matter is, the world, which is the object of our existence as Christians, demands something different from us. The world is demanding that we be the fishers of men. The world is demanding that we go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, it's not putting up placards saying, please come, but its condition is demanding it. And, you know, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And so God's call upon us, his commissioning of us, his mandate, all of that together says we really need to get our act together. And where we need to get it together is in holiness. To mirror, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus at the character level. And because that's the only thing that's going to ring true to a society that now that is not accepting face value anything. Their challenge of the authority, the validity, or even the veracity of the church now demands that what we present to the world is holiness. I'm not talking about a denomination. I'm not talking about an offshoot of some individual's belief. I'm talking about reflecting and living out the character of God. It's the only thing that's going to work. And that has to be exercised in our day-to-day life, and then exercised as a part of an intentional evangelism.
I find it very interesting. Since COVID, to and including what happened in Israel, there tends to be folks are not really reacting to the reality of what happened between Israel and Iran, and I think I think one of the reasons for that is the way it's portrayed in the media. Mm-hmm. And I really believe believers really, when I saw that, my biblical prophecy antenna went up immediately.
Right.
But there seems to be, as you just said, this effort to go back to business as usual. And in a way, it's almost as if folks are ignoring this. And I really see the signals, the signs that the Lord is sending, but many are really, they're really missing.
Yes. Yes. There's a sifting that's going on. It resembles separating the wheat from the tares, but that's reserved for a more specific time. So I'm going to use a separating the wheat and tares like moment. God is shifting the church. That's why you've got all these people being exposed. All of the effort to be the first one to tell somebody else's story. To me, I think the mistake that many in the church are making is participating in the condemnations. Now, doesn't mean that we don't condone what is done when it's unrighteous, unlawful, etc. But first and foremost, most of the people that we're railing on have never been to a court of law. Somewhere in this country, it ought to be still that you're innocent until proven guilty. But more importantly, I try to instruct here at New Life that we don't participate in that. Doesn't mean we don't have an opinion, but we don't participate in it because they're not criticizing that individual. They're criticizing the whole church, the whole institution, all of it, you know, and they want that paint to spread. Because most of the people that host the other types of podcasts, not like yours, the other type of podcasts, they're all angry about something. They either were hurt or misled or they're just angry. And they only are interested in presenting the negative. They are thrilled about the expose and being the first to report. We can't participate in that. But again, I want to make it clear that is not in any way saying that we condone what people are doing. That's wrong. Or statements that people make that are unbiblical. We address ourselves to that. But, you know, I don't think Bishop Jakes has been to anybody's court yet. I find it typical, the response of the members of his church, because they were on the other extreme. They thought he could do no wrong. Now they don't think he can do any right. And none of that's biblical. That's not a biblical response. But more than likely, that's how we respond to most things, like your sin. You know, for 120 years, we were in the sin management business. We manage our sin, your sin, everybody's sin. And as a result, we had nothing but condemnation. That was our response. That wasn't God's response to Jesus even said, I didn't come to condemn. You know, what he didn't say was there's a day reserved for that. But right now, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Well, we can't do any different than Jesus did. We should be seeking to follow in his footsteps. So as we relate and as we respond to sin, it should be with the same spirit, with the same intent and the same objective.
So at the heart of that text message is the fact that it is essential that we pursue holiness at this time.
Absolutely.
And I really believe that we are, I've often I have said here at All Saints, we are at the end of the end times, or the last of the days. That's what I've taught here. And I love how you put forth the call to go back to the foundations of holiness. One thing I'm listening to you, I really believe that we're in a time of distractions.
Oh, yes.
You know, all of us are being bombarded with so much, and that the mind of individuals is impacted by this. We had talked before, you said, like, people are being affected every day, mm-hmm. day by day. Do you think this is part of the reason why folks do not fully understand or appreciate that we are beginning to live out the eschaton?
Well, I think it goes back to, it's interesting. I concluded a Bible study this evening, and our text was the 12th chapter of Romans. And I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. And I presented to them that if you miss that, you miss it all. If you really don't understand what Paul is calling for here, that the real purpose that God seeks from us is that we be dedicated, pure and simple. If I have not begun with a dedication foundation, then all of the other things that follow, that he instructs, Paul is instructing the Romans to do, will not be accomplished, or will be accomplished with tremendous difficulty. A lot of failure, because we're trying to do it out of the context of being committed and dedicated to God. So, and as a result, what we end up doing is we present our bodies a living sacrifice, and sacrifice only is reflected from us. You know, it's all about our sacrifice. No. You present your bodies as a living sacrifice, but you're just a vessel, okay? So where you exercise the sacrifice is not your decision. You can't define the sacrifice. God does, okay? And what then flows from that is an attitude that's consistent with our culture and where we live, which is about individualism. It's about individual attainment, individual success. It's me, my foreign, no more. And all of that convolutes all of the things that God then says. These are the actions that should reflect what I told you first. But we treat them as acts in and of themselves. For example, when we say, I'm trying to go back to verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. If you make serving the Lord an activity, as opposed to everything in verse 9, 10, and 11 reflecting the service of the Lord, follow me? You got a whole different relationship between you and God. So, you know, we serving the Lord, I'm serving the Lord. Well, really, what do we have to offer him? Again, if I understand I'm a vessel, then God doesn't need my effort. My effort will only interfere with the will and the plan of God. So it's all about, you know, and Jesus said it. He said, if you would be my disciple, first deny yourself. And I say it all the time, self is our worst enemy. All righty.
Something I came across regarding Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. But before I get to that, I want to get back to what you were just saying. Because one critical thing that we also have to keep in mind is our expectations. In terms of our expectations are tied in with the culture. What are the expectations of the culture as compared to having a kingdom mindset? Mm-hmm. That is something that we really have to be concerned about.
Well, you said something that I think is increasingly being heard, but not widely, and that is kingdom. Jesus did not come to establish a religion. Jesus came to reestablish a relationship. Christianity, remember now, Christianity is not the name that we gave ourselves or that God gave us. It's the name that the enemy gave us. As he observed us because of the way his culture worked, he saw Jesus as a competitive leader and the followers of Jesus as a competitive army. And so he called them Christians, right? Because they follow Christ. But he didn't intend that as a compliment. He didn't intend that as just a casual statement. He was looking at it from his perspective, his mindset, his culture. I'll give you another example of why what you said, and I've come to understand, you in your questioning, you drop real big bombs because you create an environment in which a lot of things can be talked about and connected, as opposed to very, very narrow, sharp, yes, no, little response kind of questions and answers. And I appreciate that. But we're getting ready to go to National Convocation. This is going to be a banner year. I mean, it's going to be so many people there. I'm nowhere near downtown. They used to have a hotel for the bishops, but anyway, so there's going to be a lot of people there. When people think about the Church of God in Christ anymore, far too many people only relate to us in how we project ourselves from our flesh. We used to go to Memphis and they'd have signs, the saints are coming. And that was in the earliest days, it was reflective of the impact that we had when we came down there, not from the bishops, not from the main speakers, but from the everyday saint who would visit the hospitals, who would visit the nursing homes, who lived in homes and therefore impacted people, as opposed to living in hotels. My grandparents went to the same lady's house every year. The lady was not a member of the Church of God in Christ. She didn't go to Mason Temple. She lived right down the street. But she did live down the street, and she opened up her home to the saints. And so we had relationship, even though, again, as she did not, she was not a member of the Church of God in Christ, but she played a very important role in helping to move us along. There are an awful lot of people that still are associated with the church that are not members of the church, but give service to the church. I have a driver, a van driver, that I use almost every time I go. She lives in Memphis. She's not a member of Church of Christ, though. But she's at more national meetings than I am. So, but what I was, I see that one of the distractions is that you start thinking about things. I got distracted. We have to change how people see us and what they think of when they see us. And that's, I think that's more important at the local church level than it is for the presiding bishop. You know, I know he's in the spotlight, and people love to snipe at high leaders. You're great until you make a decision, but you understand that as a local pastor. You're the best thing since sliced bread till you make a decision. And then people are going to have to decide if they're going to like it or not like it. But it's at the local level where this thing really has to change. And that's what that call was about. It wasn't it to the pastors. It was to encourage them, if they agreed, to embrace that and begin to teach more stringently, more often, holiness. Because what I discovered, Pastor, many of our members and many of our pastors can't articulate our doctrine of holiness. We have a group of people who don't know the difference between Wesleyan holiness and Pentecostal holiness and holiness as reflected by charismatics. And I'm not trying to get off into theological discussions, but we at least know what we believe. Okay. We have an amalgam of belief because of our loose training processes, the inconsistency in our training, and in our ordination. The most important, really, this is what I believe. The most important promotion in this church is promotion from minister to elder. Because once you are an elder, that's an international license. You represent the Church of God in Christ wherever you go. And I was doing a teaching recently and discovered, I won't give any details, but it was an alarming rate of our men that did not know the difference between God's involvement in our holiness as we believe it versus as Reformed believes it. That's serious. But it also says that where we're getting our understanding from, YouTube, TBN, Google, and we're not discriminant on the source. We also don't pay attention to what the Bibles that we buy. There's only one or two Bibles where the editors and the commentary is consistent with holiness Pentecostal beliefs. It's the Dakes and to some degree Full Spirit. Everything else is coming from a Reformed point of view. And I won't get into that, but I think that it is a huge mistake on our part. I think we've been around long enough to have matured to eliminate the vast independence that exists within our body. I mean, sometimes we operate like McDonald's franchises. We all got the same sign outside, but the world needs us to speak a singular message. And I'll turn it back over to you.
Well, That's an interesting point, because what you just described is a series of distractions, and it hinders the church from putting forth the gospel. You tempted me with the reform piece, but I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on from
that. Yeah, that's a whole, that's a major, major, major issue.
Yes. Yes.
And again, I don't want to ever be viewed as characterizing that as somehow negative, wrong, or what have you, but there is a difference. And I believe difference doesn't mean it's wrong. It doesn't mean it's right. It's just different. But we ought to be consistent. That's really the point.
And I agree with that. Bishop, we have run out of time.
Oh, wow.
We didn't get a chance to, well, I'm going to open this up regarding Ezekiel.
Okay.
Chapters 38 and 39. Now, there's been a lot of great discussion about this, different interpretations as to the battle. I'm going to call it the Battle of Gog. Some believe it takes place before the tribulation. There are others believe it takes place after. If you could elaborate on that a little bit.
Actually, I can't. I learned a few years ago that if you're not well versed on the subject, don't try to fake it. And I'm not, especially to the level that you're asking the question. You know, and I know that there are pre-tribs and post-tribs, and that has some effect on whether or not they think this battle is going to take place before or after. What I'm only concerned about one thing as it relates to the tribulation, not the tribulation, but the rapture. And that is that I'm in it. And I mean, literally, to be here till the rapture, because I have not found any avenue of death that appeals to me. So, since nothing appeals to me, no method by which I would die, the only recourse is the rapture. But I'm satisfied with that. I'm okay with that. 'Cause I'll get there the same time everybody else does. That's a whole different subject too.
Yeah, yes, it is.
We keep putting our loved ones in heaven. They're not there yet.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, Bishop, we have run out of time.
All right, sir.
And I just want to let folks know that we're going to be coming back with Bishop Cook with the Bishop's Voice. And truly, Bishop Cook has a voice and he has a message. And Bishop, I'm really excited for this opportunity for you. And as I listen, I mean, you're teaching bishops in the Church of God in
yes.
Christ. And so I think this is a wonderful opportunity for you to share your teachings with others as well. Do you have any final comments before we conclude?
Only this, that the last text that I sent was in response to a growing negative response to today's conditions. And in short, basically, I just said, look, we acknowledge that all kinds of things are going on, but I hear the Lord saying enough. And we must never lose sight of the fact that he is and always has been in total control. He's not.
Can I read that? Can I read that text real quick? The God of more than enough declares to the world, to a world of excess, over the top, extreme, debauchery, rebellion, defiance, and disobedience. Enough.
Enough. That says it all for this week.
Well, Bishop, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
And I'm so happy that you have agreed. This is a big deal for me that I can do a podcast with my jurisdictional bishop.
God bless you, sir.
So, folks, please remember to go to allsaintstemple.org. We have virtual worships. We have podcasts as well as Bible studies all there to assist with your walk with the Lord. Blessings to you.
God bless.